Hello, this is Mary, and I'll be reading selections from the Decatur Herald and Review from Monday, April 28th, 2025. From the front page, Local History, Turning the Key to Amish History. Ground broken for $5 million expansion at Amish Heritage Center, by Danette Beckett. Arthur. A couple of horses may have started the construction of the Illinois Amish Heritage Center's future visitor and museum center, but a John Deere is going to keep it going. In honor of Amish heritage, dignitaries, business leaders, and several from the Amish community were on hand to witness the groundbreaking ceremony of the visitor center at the IAHC campus near Arthur. We invited people who had a major hand in bringing it thus far, donors, contributors, contractors, board member David Kent Coy said before the Friday afternoon ceremony. Construction on the 10,000 square foot visitor and museum center is set to begin as early as next week. However, the first dig began with a couple of horses dragging a slip scraper, an early American farm implement used to move soil. Coy is a descendant of the Amish Hostetler family, and said his interest in genealogy led him to learn all about his own history. The visitor center will allow others, like Coy, to research their own families. There are thousands of people like me who are so distinctly connected to the Amish, and they hardly know it, he said. The center will be part of the IAHC campus, which also has on display a barn, two historical Amish homes, a workshop, and a school. It shows how the Amish lived in central Illinois, Coy said. Members of the Amish community migrated to the area shortly after the Civil War, according to the history. They found the ground to be fertile and ideal for farming. The visitor center will be built by local contractors. Some of the contractors that we're using employ a lot of Amish, or the contractors are Amish, said Executive Director David King. According to Wilmer Otto, president of the IAHC board, the campus uses 7 acres in an area east of Arthur and west of Arcola. The two houses were the first to be moved to the site. Then, as more buildings became available, that gave us the opportunity to put them here, he said. The addition of the new center is expected to be the capstone of the campus, Otto said. It's the key, he added. It's not every day that a small community like Arthur and Arcola can bring a $5 million development. The new facility will house an exhibit hall, a theater, gift shop, workshop, and a kitchen for future events. We are counting on people coming from all over the United States to learn about the Amish, Coy said. Funding for the $5 million project came from grants and donations, board members said. It is expected to take approximately 2 years to complete. King has been working on the project for 7 years, with much of his work focused on fundraising. So far, we've raised over $2 million, he said. We're still raising another $3 million. Along with the special guests, the board wanted to honor the horses at the ceremony. It's just to give an interesting experience for how they used to clear land for building projects, King said. It's sort of the 19th century answer to, how do you move a lot of dirt? The center is a testament to the people who migrated to the area nearly 200 years ago as they continued to grow their families as well as the culture, King said. This building is a milestone on the road toward a vision for this community, he said. Turning to page 2, local and national news. Police. Delivery driver reports gunshots target vehicle, by Tony Reed. Decatur. Police said a food delivery driver was backing out of a busy Decatur parking lot when she saw a gunman open fire at a vehicle. Sergeant Jamie Hagemeyer with the Decatur Police Department said the gunfire happened around 9:36 p.m. Friday in the 1400 block of West King Street, next to the Fairview Shopping Center. The DoorDash driver said she observed a male in his early to mid-20s shooting toward a green or silver minivan, Hagemeyer said. The driver said she heard 6 gunshots, and officers recovered shell casings in the parking lot on the east side of a restaurant. Hagemeyer said police had received no reports of any gunshot victims in the wake of the gunfire and did not locate any bullet damage to nearby buildings or vehicles. Police: Man exposed self at baby shower, by Tony Reed, Decatur. A Decatur man was arrested Saturday evening after police said he yelled racial slurs at women attending a baby shower and then exposed himself to them. Sergeant Jamie Hagemeyer with the Decatur Police Department said the incident happened around 4:45 p.m. in the 1900 block of North Water Street. Hagemeyer said attendees from the shower were in a parking lot when the 42-year-old man, a passerby, approached them. They said he began yelling racial slurs and making sexual comments to them. Then he pulled his pants up and walked away. A 41-year-old woman alerted police, and patrol officers located and detained the man within an hour of the incident. He said he had been there at the parking lot, but he didn't know how long he was there, Hagemeyer said. He said he never took his shirt off. He said he took his shirt off, but never pulled his pants down. And he said he never said anything sexual, and he never made a racial comment, all according to him, under the Miranda caution. Hagemeyer said police were now looking for video camera evidence that may have captured what happened. The man was arrested on preliminary charges of public indecency and lewd exposure. He was formally booked into the Macon County Jail at 6:49 p.m., but released at 7:05 p.m. under the pretrial release rules. He is set to be arraigned May 13th in Macon County Circuit Court. All preliminary charges are subject to review by the Office of the State's Attorney. From page 3, National News, Airlines Cut Flights, Leisure Travel Slows, by Michelle Chapman, AP Business Writer. Major U.S. airlines are reducing their flight schedules and revising or withdrawing their profit outlooks for the year due to less domestic travel demand as sentiment about the national and global economies sours. American Airlines pulled its financial guidance for 2025 on Thursday, joining rivals Southwest and Delta in declaring the economic outlook too uncertain to provide full-year forecasts. All three airlines cited weakening sales among economy-class leisure travelers. "We came off a strong fourth quarter, saw decent business in January, and really, domestic leisure travel fell off considerably as we went into the February time frame," American Airlines CEO Robert Isom told CNBC. Consumer reluctance to book vacations would correspond with a new poll that showed many people fear the U.S. is being steered into a recession, and that President Donald Trump's broad and haphazardly enforced tariffs will cause prices to rise. There's also increasing concerns about international travelers. Michael Feroli, chief U.S. economist at J.P. Morgan, said in a client note that anti-American sentiment could be spurring a travel drop-off, with data showing that international visitors to the U.S. are running about 5% lower than a year ago. In recent weeks, there have been numerous news stories of tourists canceling trips to the U.S. in protest of the perceived heavy-handedness of recent trade policies, he wrote. This points to potentially another channel to consider in assessing the effects of tariffs on economic activities. Some economic indicators point to expectations of a slowdown. Sales of previously occupied U.S. homes slowed in March, and U.S. consumer sentiment plunged in April, the fourth consecutive month of declines. However, fears of a downturn have not translated into layoffs. Trump announced sweeping tariffs on April 2nd that triggered panic in financial markets and generated recession fears, leading to consumers and businesses to start pulling back on spending, which includes travel. The president put a partial 90-day hold on the import taxes, but increased his already steep tariffs against China. Beijing increased its import tax on American goods to 125% in retaliation. On Thursday, China denied Trump's assertion that the two sides were involved in active negotiations to end or mitigate their trade war. American Airlines said it would give an update on its full-year guidance as the economic outlook becomes clearer. Airline executives said sales among business travelers and premium sites on long-haul international flights remain solid. Southwest Airlines reported that it would trim its flight schedule for the second half of the year due to lower demand. The company also said it could not reaffirm its 2025 and 2026 outlooks for earnings, given current economic uncertainty. United Airlines last week gave two different financial forecasts for how it may perform this year, one if there's a recession, and one if not. The airline said it planned to reduce its scheduled domestic flights by 4% starting in July in response to lower-than-expected demand for economy fare tickets. "We think there is a reasonable chance things can weaken from here," United CEO Scott Kirby said. Delta Airlines, the nation's most profitable carrier, predicted as early as January that the company was on track for the best financial year in its history. Earlier this month, the airline scratched its performance expectations and said it was putting a planned flight schedule expansion on hold. With broad economic uncertainty around global trade, growth has largely stalled, Delta CEO Ed Bastian said at the time. "In this slower growth environment, we are protecting margins and cash flow by focusing on what we can control. This includes reducing planned capacity growth in the second half of the year." The parent companies of Frontier Airlines and Alaska Airlines also pulled their 2025 guidance. Turning to page 5, National and World News, The Digest. U.S. deploys anti-ship missile launcher, Bataan Island, Philippines. The U.S. military deployed an anti-ship missile launcher for the first time on Bataan Island in the Philippines as Marines unloaded the high-precision weapon on the northern tip of the archipelago, just a sea border away from Taiwan. U.S. and Philippine forces separately unleashed a barrage of missile and artillery fire that shot down several drones acting as hostile aircraft in live fire drills on Sunday in Zambales province, facing the disputed South China Sea. The mock battle scenarios over the weekend in the annual Balikatan exercises between the U.S. and its oldest treaty ally in Asia, the Philippines, not only simulated real-life war, they were also staged near major geopolitical hotspots, which have become delicate front lines in the regional rivalry between China and the U.S., under former President Joe Biden and now Donald Trump. About 9,000 Americans and 5,000 Filipino military personnel took part in the combat maneuvers. Pakistan kills militants crossing into country. Islamabad. Pakistani security forces overnight killed 54 militants who tried to cross into the country from Afghanistan, the military said Sunday, marking one of the deadliest such killings in recent years. The military said in a statement that intelligence reports indicated that the killed militants were the Pakistani Taliban. Without directly blaming anyone, the military said the slain insurgents were sent by their foreign masters to carry out high-profile attacks inside Pakistan. Iran. Iranian President Masoud Pezeshkian on Sunday visited those injured in a huge explosion Saturday that rocked one of the Islamic Republic's main ports, a facility purportedly linked to an earlier delivery of a chemical ingredient used to make missile propellant. Colorado. More than 100 immigrants suspected of being in the U.S. illegally were taken into custody early Sunday following a federal raid at an illegal after-hours nightclub in Colorado Springs, Colorado authorities said. New Mexico. Forecasters at the National Weather Service's Storm Prediction Center warned of an extreme fire risk across much of New Mexico on Sunday as high winds, low humidity, and dry vegetation formed ideal conditions for fast-moving wildfires. France. A man suspected of killing a Muslim worshiper in a mosque in the south of France was still on the run Sunday, authorities said, in an attack described by Prime Minister Francois Bayrou as Islamophobic. Russia. A man suspected of killing Russian Lieutenant General Yaroslav Moskalik with a car bomb pleaded guilty to terrorism charges and said he was paid by the Ukrainian security system, Russian authorities said Sunday. South Korea. Lee Jae-myung, a liberal who wants greater economic parity in South Carolina and warmer ties with North Korea, became the main opposition party's presidential candidate Sunday, solidifying his position as frontrunner to succeed recently ousted conservative president Yoon Suk-yeol. North Korea confirms it sent troops to fight Ukraine, by Elise Morton. Seoul. North Korea on Monday confirmed for the first time that it has sent troops to Russia to support its war against Ukraine. U.S., South Korean, and Ukraine intelligence officials have said that North Korea last fall dispatched about 10 to 12,000 troops to Russia, but North Korea had not confirmed or denied its reported troop deployments to Russia until Monday. In a statement provided to North Korea's state media, the North Central's Military Commission of the Working Party said leader Kim Jong-un had decided to send combat troops to Russia under a mutual defense treaty. It cited Kim as saying that the troops' deployment was meant to annihilate and wipe out the Ukrainian neo-Nazi occupiers and liberate the Kursk area in cooperation with the Russian armed forces. They've all fought for justice. They are heroes and representatives of the honor of the motherland, Kim said. Meanwhile, Russia launched a sweeping drone assault and airstrikes across Ukraine early Sunday, killing at least 4 people, officials said, after U.S. President Donald Trump cast doubt over Russian President Vladimir Putin's willingness to end the war. On Sunday evening, as Trump left his golf club in New Jersey, he told reporters he remained disappointed in Russia's attacks. Trump said of Putin, "I want him to stop shooting, sit down, and make a deal." Asked what he would do if Russia does not stop its attacks, Trump replied, "I have a lot of things that I can do." In local news, "Frenzy Feeds the Famished," by Danette Beckett, Decatur. Decatur residents Gabriella Roman, 2, and her dad, Joel Roman, came to the annual Food Truck Frenzy on Saturday to support the local community. "And there's quite a bit of choices," Joel said, "but when you know what you want, you know what you want. To make the choices easier, the family stopped at several mobile units spaced throughout Fairview Park. "We got a little bit of everything," Joel said. "Tacos, funnel cakes, nachos, and Kona ices." The event organizer, Jen Stout, reached out to well-known food trucks for the 5th annual Food Truck Frenzy. The absence of the Decatur celebration motivated the United Way to host the event. But also supporting local food trucks, and it is a kickoff to spring, Stout said. 9 food trucks were parked throughout Fairview Park, with dining options including burgers, Mexican food, desserts, and several other food choices. "We try to get as much as we can," Stout said. "The event is a fundraiser for the United Way, with a percentage of the proceeds going toward the local agency." Other activities included face painting, visitors from Legends of Cosplay, and mobile trucks from the city of Decatur. Thomas Tucker, owner of Tucker Family Concessions, came from Cowden to take part in the Food Truck Frenzy. However, the food truck is becoming familiar in the Macon County area. "We do a lot of shows at the Devon," Tucker said about the outdoor amphitheater in Nelson Park. This year is the first frenzy for Tucker, who serves smash burgers and other burger concoctions. He was hopeful the event would be successful. "Not just for sales, but for the community's interaction," he said. "I'm glad to see Decatur's got something like this." Food truck sales have become popular in recent years, according to Tucker. Low overhead is one of the reasons. "It's the ability to go to the crowds instead of them coming to us," he said. "And we serve a lot of small towns in the surrounding communities that don't have a lot of dining choices." KLC Creations LLC owner Kalen Cohn was ready to satisfy the sweet tooth with baked goods, roasted pecans, and lemon shake-ups. "Today marks our 1-year grand opening anniversary at the same place," she said. "This was our very first event." Cohn said she relied on family and friends to get KLC running. "They've been a great support," she said. Illinois bans credit card sports betting. "Digital payments still allowed at casinos," by Robert McCoppin. Gamblers will no longer be allowed to use credit cards to bet on sports in Illinois, the Illinois Gaming Board announced Friday. The prohibition on credit cards for sports wagering is meant to reduce compulsive gambling. It mirrors a ban on using credit cards to bet at casinos. When legal sports wagering began in Illinois in 2020, sports betting was authorized in 13 other states, and none prohibited the use of credit cards. Since then, the industry has grown to where sports betting is legal in 40 states, and at least 6, including nearby Iowa and Tennessee, have banned credit card use. There is a growing body of research showing that restrictions on credit usage to fund wagering accounts encourages responsible gambling and mitigates the harm of compulsive gambling, Board Administrator Marcus Fruchter said. Problem gamblers are particularly at risk, and studies have shown an often problematic willingness for compulsive gamblers to use credit cards to place bets. Many popular sports betting sites accept credit cards, though some credit card companies may block use for sports gambling websites. The board also decided to permit cashless wagering in all 17 Illinois casinos. Cashless wagering refers to the use of digital payment methods, such as mobile apps, prepaid cards, or electronic wallets, to make bets and settle transactions. In recent years, casinos have seen a significant shift toward cashless wagering, revolutionizing the way people gamble, the Association of Certified Gaming Compliance Specialists reported. The new approach eliminates the need to carry large sums of cash, wait in long lines to exchange chips, and lets players transfer from slot machines to table games without having to cash in or out. Players can set spending limits, time restrictions, or self-exclusion periods, encouraging healthier gambling habits. But on some online sites, digital currencies and cashless wagering has been associated with increased addictive behavior. According to the association, players can lose track of the amount of money they have spent, leading to potential money problems. Cashless systems have also been vulnerable to technical glitches, data breaches, and money laundering, the association reported. The change in Illinois would allow patrons to use a digital casino account or wallet to wager, withdraw electronic credits, fund wagers, and cash out remaining credits. Cashless wagering accounts would be subject to state requirements, including the credit card ban, the self-exclusion program, age restrictions, and money laundering safeguards. The credit card ban may prevent some people from going into debt to gamble, but people can get around it by getting cash advances, said Michelle Malkin, director of the Gambling Research and Policy Initiative at East Carolina University. More worrisome, Malcolm said, is the growth in cashless systems and mobile apps that let people gamble continuously. In the past, gambling required going someplace and taking time to buy coins or chips and taking breaks between games and bets, all of which gave gamblers time to think about whether they wanted to risk losing more money. Now, cashless systems eliminate those needed breaks at casinos, and mobile gambling lets people bet any time of day from their own home. Sports gambling in particular is dangerous because it's become so commonplace, especially among young men, and can be done continuously with bets on nearly every play. Some apps give free bonuses for new players to use gambling, encouraging them to bet more often with bigger bets. One East Carolina study found that after sports gambling legislation, almost 85% of college men were gambling, and another study saw 13% of college males suffering a gambling-related harm, such as debt. West Texas deportations under 1798 law paused. A federal judge in West Texas joined other courts in temporarily blocking the deportation of Venezuelan immigrants under a 1798 wartime law known as the Alien Enemies Act. U.S. Judge David Broines in El Paso, Texas, issued the ruling while he ordered the release of a couple accused of being members of a Venezuelan gang, which the U.S. designated a terrorist organization. Briones wrote that government employees have not demonstrated they have any lawful basis to continue detaining the couple on a suspected alien enemy violation. An attorney for the couple didn't immediately respond to a message seeking comment. Briones's ruling applies only to Venezuelan immigrants in federal custody in his judicial district. Federal judges in Colorado, South Texas, and New York previously issued similar rulings. Briones ordered the government to give a 21-day notice before attempting to remove anyone in West Texas, in contrast to the 12 hours the government contends are sufficient. An Israeli airstrike flattened a three-story home in Gaza City, killing 10 people, half of them children, as Arab mediators scrambled to restart a ceasefire. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review from Monday, April 28th. Please stay tuned.